Coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn, it's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark and Sarah today, because it's Wednesday and Pam's off to BNI. She's networking.
She's networking. Yeah. She's actually here in the office, but she's leaving soon.
All right. Well, don't give away all the secrets. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Give us a listen at lydiamediallc.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
Today's show is brought to you by UPI Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, serving residential and commercial customers with new installations and repairs. Call today and schedule your oil and gas boiler cleanings at 754-4556. UPI, the best plumbers around. And by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squatch it at 6 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupert's.
We have the pleasure of being joined in studio by a couple of Maine Nordiques. We have forward Damon Myers, who is number 17 in your program, and defenseman Briggs Orr, who is number 19. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, thanks for getting up early and joining us today. Although people won't listen to this till the afternoon. They don't know all the behind-the-scenes stuff. They only get the finished product.
they get it easy. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
We are going to talk all about the Maine Nordiques coming up here in just a bit, especially their weekend sweep of these stinking Maryland Black Bears.
In their own barn. Take that.
And the Nords return to the Colisée for the first time in over a month weekend, which is going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. We will get to all of that in just a bit, but right now, let's take a look at some headlines for Wednesday, October 23rd.
A school bus crash in Minot left 16 students with minor injuries yesterday morning. The RSU 16 bus crashed into a ditch off Shaw Hill Road, about a half a mile from Minot Consolidated School. The cause of the crash is under investigation. RSU 16 serves the towns of Minot, Poland, and Mechanic Falls.
In a 19-1 vote, the Oxford Hills School Board voted not to spend nearly $6 million to repair the Agnes Gray Elementary School in West Paris. The school has been vacant since February after school district officials deemed the building uninhabitable and posed a safety risk to students and staff.
Maine Public reports that for the fourth straight month, Maine's unemployment rate remained at 2.8%. A federal government report showed that Maine continues to suffer more from a lack of workers than a lack of jobs.
The city of Auburn invites residents to join a community conversation called Reimagine Washington Street. The meeting will take place tonight from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Auburn Airport and cover the future of Washington Street, including traffic upgrades, new neighborhoods, trails, and river access. To learn more, visit littleandrogateway.com.
Governor Mills has ordered that the United States and State of Maine flags be lowered to half-staff statewide this Friday in remembrance and honor of those lost, injured, and impacted by the tragedy in Lewiston last year. The governor's proclamation can be found at maine.gov.
In the weather.
Weather!
Plenty of sunshine on the way. Sunny today with a high of 71 and a low of 47. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 63. And sunny on Friday with temps in the high 50s.
Still a paddling day.
You going paddling?
Every day.
Twice yesterday?
Just once yesterday.
All right. Slacker.
In sports, the Celtics begin their title defense by raising the 18th championship banner to the rafters of TD Garden and beating the New York Knicks 132-109. Boston tied an NBA record with 29 three-pointers before missing their last 13, trying to break the record. Jason Tatum led the way with 37 points and 10 assists. The Seas will visit the Washington Wizards tomorrow night.
The Bruins.
Oh, dear.
They didn't do so well last night. They lost to the previously winless Nashville Predators. 4-0 was the final. What do you got to say about that, Sarah?
I got nothing to say.
You got nothing.
I'm sad about it.
Okay. How are you and Jeremy doing?
We're okay.
You're okay. Yeah. The Bees return home to face the Dallas Stars tomorrow night.
Hey, the first place Maine Nordiques will face off against the Northeast Generals on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at the Colisée.
The what? Northeast Generals?
The stinking Northeast Generals.
There we go.
That's that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
The NA3 Nordiques take on the Junior Mountain Kings in New Hampshire. That is happening this afternoon.
The 1-6 Patriots host the 2-5 New York Jets on Sunday afternoon.
I will say this about New England sports. At least we have the Celtics and the Nordiques.
Yeah.
And then
we're lucky.
And then it's just painful. And then
it's just what's happening?
Maine native and Duke University freshman Cooper Flagg was named to the preseason AP All-America team. He was the only underclassman selected and is expected to be the number one pick in the 2025 NBA draft.
That's so cool. It's just so stinking cool.
What's your history with, you used to babysit him or something?
No. He and my son are around the same age. His mom, Kelly, her parents own the camp next to my grandparents. So we used to play with Cooper and his siblings when they were little.
And you taught him how to play basketball?
No.
Oh,
absolutely not.
I got that mixed up.
I'm pretty sure he gets that talent from his mom and his dad. They're both really good basketball players.
Gotcha.
On our high school scoreboard in boys soccer, it was Freiburg Academy shutting out Poland 3-0 and Lewiston edging out Edward Little 3-0.
And in girls soccer, it was York over Grey New Gloucester 2-1 in overtime. That's your news, weather, and sports. And right now it is time for the podcast segment that is
sweeping
the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for October the 23rd, shall we?
Okay.
All right, we're going to start off with director Chris Weitz, who directed American Pie back in the day. He is 55 years old today. Bassist Robert Trujillo of Metallica is 60 years old today. He joined Metallica 21 years ago and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of Metallica in 2009. Mm-hmm. Also played for a thrash band called Suicidal Tendencies.
Okay.
You guys Metallica fans?
No.
No,
not really.
That's not your... What do you guys listen to warm up and get you jacked up for the game?
Yeah.
I'm a Lynyrd Skynyrd guy.
Wow.
Wow. Ooh, yeah.
Okay. Never would have guessed that.
No. Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
He was raised right. That's good stuff. What about you?
Honestly, it depends on how I'm feeling before the game, but mix of rap and, I mean, the locker room's always pumping EDM or rap, so I think a combination of both I like. Right. So. Hmm.
No Weird Al Yankovic?
No.
You guys? All right, because it is Weird Al's birthday today.
Yeah.
Weird Al is 65 today. He is he's a treasure.
He's quite an accordion player.
He is. Yeah, he's well known for his accordion playing. Sold millions and millions and millions of records throughout his illustrious career, which began at the age of 16.
Yeah.
When he had his parody comedy songs aired on the Dr. Demento radio show in 1976. He's also a movie star. Starred in the film UHF in 1989.
Yeah.
The Weird Al Show was a television series he started in 97 and also produced two satirical films about his own life. The Complete Al in 85 and The Al Yankovic Story in 2022, which starred Harry Potter.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Right, that guy. Director Sam Raimi from the Spider-Man films is 65 years old today. He directed the Spider-Man trilogy, which took place from 2002 to 2007. Those were the Tobey Maguire days, weren't they, Sarah?
I think you're right. Yeah. Yes.
And rounding out FPBs for October the 23rd is Ryan Reynolds.
Such a handsome man.
Who is 48 years old today. I think everyone knows him as Deadpool.
Yeah.
Right? Three movies. Deadpool, Deadpool 2, and Deadpool and Wolverine. Anybody see that?
I haven't seen the Wolverine one?
I haven't either. No. I've seen the other two.
I remember him from way back with Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
What about National Lampoon's Van Wilder?
I never saw that.
That came out in 2002, and it was based on the life of...
I don't know.
Bert Kreischer.
Oh, really?
Yes. Rolling Stone did an article on Bert Kreischer as the hardest partying college student in the country.
No kidding.
He was going to FSU, and that's where the movie Van Wilder came from.
You guys know who Bert Kreischer is?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Shirtless Wonder.
Oh, yeah.
He's a senior
Yeah.
Those are your FPBs for October the 23rd. Looking for a tasty meal? We have over a dozen options. Banking services? Plenty to choose from. Holiday gift ideas? Yep, we have that too. These are just a few of the resources you'll find in the October issue of Uncle Andy's Digest, along with jokes, funny stories, shout-outs, an events calendar, advertiser directory, and a whole lot more. Uncle Andy's Digest, your guide to, well, just about anything. Pick up your free copy today and visit uncleandys.com. Now we shift focus to our guests in studio, Maine Nordiques, Damon Myers and Briggs Orr. First of all, you guys, how good does it feel to come off a sweep of the stinking Maryland Black Bears this past weekend? We'll start with you, Briggs.
It feels pretty great to sweep the second place team in their barn. It's it's pretty unreal. I think our record there is 3-0-1 with one shootout or one overtime loss. So that's pretty good for us. But I mean, it feels even better, like, you know, keeping the win streak going. We're at 6 right now, and we definitely have goals to get it to 8, and then next weekend to 10 for sure. So
just keep rolling along,
just
man.
Just keep rolling. Exciting. Just keep chugging.
Both of you guys are first-year players with the Nords, but I'm sure that you've been informed about the history. You know, last season, Maryland knocking you out of the playoffs, and Maryland did it again the previous season. We had your co-captain in here last week, Treppy, it's like he has a personal vendetta against Maryland.
He's got a grudge. Yeah. He's got a major beef.
He does. Yeah. So it's,
I like it.
Damon, what was the experience like for you this past
weekend? Actually just going to touch on that, the fact, you know, we're both new players on the team, but we know how much it means to go into their barn and beat them because of how they knocked us out of the playoffs last year. And although I wasn't on the team, it feels like I was with how a lot of the veterans like treat that series. So it felt great. Another road win. We've been on the road, it feels like, every weekend. It was a great weekend. A lot of character wins. We had a lot of guys just sell out for the games, and great goaltending each game. So I'm going to shout out the goalies on that weekend. But it was a good overall weekend. I thought the boys played well. So
yeah, and I think the blessing in disguise here with you guys being on the road so long is that you're going to have a ton of home games coming up. So the Colisée is going to be rocking.
Yeah, you'll get a lot of support.
Let's ask you guys the questions that we ask all our Nordiques. Mm-hmm. Damon, we'll start with you. How old were you when you first put on a pair of skates? And kind of give us your path to the Nordiques.
So I think I was 3 years old when I first started skating. I had an outdoor rink that my dad built. I have an older brother who's 3 years older than me. So my dad played hockey and my older brother played hockey. So it was kind of next in line for me too. I was, three, probably started playing hockey at 4 or 5. And then played for my dad. Like I said, he worked for the Worcester Sharks. So I played for the youth team, the Worcester Junior Sharks, pretty much my whole youth hockey career. And then when I was 14... It was going into high school. I ended up going to St. John's in Shrewsbury. My older brother was a senior there, so I was a freshman. We ended up playing on the same team for 1 year before COVID shut down the season towards the end of the season, and then the next season following. So I played for the Neponset Valley River Rats for 3 years. That's kind of like a half season thing where you play half the year there and then half the year for your high school. And then I ended up going to St. Mark's in Southborough for the rest of my high school career, which is prep school in Massachusetts. So I played with a lot of great hockey players. We've actually had a few Nordiques come from there. Brendan Gibbons, who was the captain.
Gibby.
Yeah.
So a lot of good people for me to look up to. They're great coaches. And so I kind of knew about the Nordiques when I was there and how good of a program it was, because I'm good friends with his younger brother, Andrew Gibbons, who I know played a few games here. Yeah. So I knew how good of a program it was. And then I ended up getting drafted to the Lone Star Brahmas in the NAHL. And it didn't really work out for there. This was me last year. So I ended up playing the rest of the year for the Connecticut Junior Rangers in the NCDC and played the whole year there. I had some family there, so I was living there. And then this year, I just had the opportunity to go to the Chatter Cup, like his sweatshirt over there, and you know, kind of just earn a spot on the team. I wasn't drafted or tendered or anything like that, so I had to earn a spot and work my way up through the ranks, through training camp and all that. And I'm just really lucky to be here. So
was it Nick Skrlik that informed you that you made the team?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us about that moment and what it meant to you.
Yeah, I mean, it is great. I mean, the whole training camp, you're kind of just wondering, like, you're looking at other guys, seeing like how you stack up. So I kind of knew like how I was doing based on, like, we had meetings after every preseason game. So I got some good feedback that I was doing well and he liked me. So, but it's a great feeling knowing that you officially made the team. And even then, you're still trying to always prove yourself. So
yeah. Who's the first person you called?
Probably my dad. Yeah. I mean, I always talk to my dad like as much as I can, and my mom, honestly, but, definitely my dad. He, he knows a lot about hockey. He's been in the game for years, so he's he's a good person to talk to about stuff like that. So
anybody who builds a rink in the backyard is committed to the success of the kid playing.
It's a big thing in Massachusetts, actually.
Yeah,
I'd say a bunch of my friends had ones too. So
it's so much work. I have a friend who builds a rink in their yard, and it's like having a pet.
Yeah. Well, me and my brothers would do most of the work. So.
Yeah. That's right. Crazy. You want to skate on this, you got to earn it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And you're from Worcester, Mass.
Yes.
So spent a lot of your career in New England.
Yes.
Right? Which is great.
Yeah. Nice
and close to home. Yeah. Briggs Orr from El Dorado Hills, California.
Yep.
Over here in
they have hockey the great in state California? Of Maine.
They do. Yeah. They got a few teams out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Briggs, how old were you when you first took to the ice?
Yeah, I think I was just shy of three. I've moved around a lot when I was a kid. My dad's work, he works in construction, and so he'd go around and start up an office in a new region, and then we'd kind of move out when someone came and took it over. I was born in Denver. That's where I started playing hockey, at a Big Bear Ice Arena, and I think it's Littleton, Colorado, but... Yeah, I got my start. My dad, he never played hockey, but his grandma owned a team or sponsored a team, like a Bantam team when he was younger. So he always grew up going to those games and like wishing he could play, but they didn't really have, I don't know, not resources, but like his parents weren't interested in supporting him playing hockey. Yeah. He played soccer. It was just easier for everyone.
A lot less equipment.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, just more, easier to manage,
way
I guess.
More affordable.
Mm-hmm. But that's how I got into hockey. He told me that when I was a kid, like they put cartoons on and I wouldn't watch them. And then he'd put a hockey game on and I was just laser focused on the TV.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But yeah, I started skating when I was about three. And then my path to the Nordiques is pretty, you could say wild. I've had probably one of the craziest hockey careers of any kid. Genuinely, I think I'm up there. And I'll admit it, it's been fun. It's been a ride for sure. But
now I'm very curious. Oh, yeah. Tell us more.
So, yeah, I was born in Denver. I lived there till I was eight. And then we moved to D.C., and I was just kind of hopping around minor league programs at the time, like whatever was there. And then we moved to Houston, Texas. And you'd think Texas doesn't have a whole lot of hockey. At the time, was sort of true. There was a couple AA programs sprinkled around. And then there was the only AAA program in Dallas. And we had debated driving up to that so I could play on the AAA team. But at the time, we were like, nah, I was only 10 years old or something. We were like, there's no way it's worth it. And then when I was going into sixth grade, we moved out to California, where I've been living now since. We kind of knew it was going to be a problem because there wasn't. The closest rink to my house right now is 35 minutes away. And they only kind of had the intro to hockey house league level there. So the closest AA team to me at the time was an hour away. So me and my dad would drive an hour to practice and back on school nights, everything, like four times a week.
Wow.
And then I did that for 2 years, and then I got better and made the AAA team, which was all the way in San Jose. So if you know anything about California, there's the Bay Area, which is on the ocean. I kind of live very, very inland. So I'm like an hour away from Lake Tahoe. So San Jose, it's a good 2.5 hour drive. So me and my dad, I just sat in the car. My dad drove every single time. He drove me down to San Jose and back three times a week. Luckily, his work had a work apartment in the Bay Area that they would, you know, let guys stay in when they were just flying in. And they very graciously let us sleep in that on Friday nights because we'd practice Friday, Saturday, and maybe Sunday.
And you were how old at this time?
I was 13.
13.
Yeah. That is a commitment.
Yeah.
Did you ever question, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I'm 13 years old. I want to be hanging out with friends. And
There was a couple of, like, moments where I fought back and forth with myself of, like, oh, I want to go hang out with my friends. I want to, you know, I don't want to spend my Friday, Saturday nights driving to San Jose. But thinking back on it, I had a pretty good balance. Like, I was able to see my friends a lot. I was able to do everything. And I just missed out on some key things, like not key things, but just little things. And I kind of knew that was going to be the trade-off, but I was pretty prepared to give that up. Like I knew I had something in hockey and I kind of wanted to follow that. So
yeah.
It's been worth it. Yeah.
You guys mature at such a young age, and you leave home so early. It's it's so foreign to me, and I'm sure Sarah as well. She has a 20-year-old son.
Yeah. He's like, got a kid your age. Like, it's crazy to think. Like, he went to college at 18, and I was like, are you sure you want to go?
Meanwhile, you guys are packing up and leaving home in your early teens.
Yeah, I was just about to get to that part. So I played at the Junior Sharks, the San Jose Junior Sharks, for 2 years, and then COVID hit, and the whole Bay Area shut down. Like, and California did everything. No ice, there was nothing. We kind of started looking. We're like, I might need to go fly somewhere. I might need to go move out. Like, I'm going to, you know, go look for a new home to play hockey, because if I'm going to follow this, I need to keep skating this year. We ended up getting reached out to by a friend of a friend. His name was Tim Jackman, and he had just started this school. It's called North Star Christian Academy. Out in Alexandria, Minnesota. It's a pretty small town. Never would have heard of it. Not much going on there. It was this little hockey school that they had started with the purpose of bringing hockey players of faith to a very, very high-level hockey school. It was two teams, 18U and 16U. They were looking to start a 16U team, so they were recruiting me to be one of the players on that first team. So I ended up going there. It was an amazing time. I met some of my best friends there. And that playing there actually opened up a lot of doors and led to me getting on the Nordiques. Because at the time, we played against Nick Skerlick's 16U Maine Nordiques Academy team. That's kind of where he ended up seeing me first. I think I must have had a pretty good game or something. He, I guess, had been following me since. I had been drafted in the WHL, which is the Major Junior League out on the west side. When I was 14 in 2020, and I signed with them a month later. So that was kind of my goal since then, was to make that major junior team and, you know, play in the WHL. After my 1 year at North Star, I went and tried to do that. I didn't end up making the full roster at 16, but I made the affiliate. So I was kept in Canada at a prep school to play as an affiliate. So I'd get called up occasionally, and I ended up doing that, and I played 17 games with the Calgary Hitmen of the WHL. So by doing that, I forfeited my NCAA eligibility, which we had thought this through, me and my parents. You know, I thought this was my path. Like, we thought this was the right idea. Looking back on it, maybe not anymore. I probably needed a little more time to develop. That's what it seemed like would be right. Anyways, I went to go play for the Calgary Hitmen next year. I went to training camp, played there all September, and then I ended up not making the team at the end of September. I got cut. And I kind of got sent home. They sent me home, and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, they just told me, basically, pack your bags. We don't have a place for you to go anymore. I was 17, so I was pretty lost. And I ended up getting a call from Cody Campbell with the Minot Minotauros, who is in the Central Division in the NHL.
Yep.
So that's kind of where my NHL career started. I went to Minot, played the first chunk of the year there, and then I ended up getting moved to St. Cloud. And that's where I spent the last year and a half, almost 2 years, with the St. Cloud Norsemen. Yeah, I had a rough go with an injury last year, just some hip thing I couldn't figure out. It took me out. I only played 13 games, but I was out from July to October and then February to end of the year. I got hurt at the deadline. They had to drop me to open up space for a new player on the roster. And so when that happened, I was a free agent or whatever. As time went by, people started to notice. Some teams were like, hey, why are you not picked up yet? I was like, oh, I'm going back to St. Cloud. They just haven't tendered me yet or drafted me. That was the plan. I was going to get tendered or drafted. And they didn't have any, so they were like, oh, we're going to draft you. And I was like, I don't know if I want to go through the draft process, because I didn't want to end up at some random team. And then all of a sudden, Skrulls called my phone while I was working one day and was like, hey, been keeping tabs on you and notice that you're a free agent. Like, we're really interested in bringing you along. Like, we're trying to build a championship team here and need a solid D. Like, would you want to come? And I was debating it. I was like, I don't know much about Maine. All I know is it's pretty good things. And then, after talking it over with my parents, I was like, yeah, Maine's going to be my home for next year.
highs and lows and lefts and rights.
Yeah. Yeah, as he's telling the story, I'm like, just picturing a map of the country with a bus going
Texas, D.C., Maine, Minnesota, North Dakota, Alberta, British Columbia, California. Yeah.
In and out of the country.
A big circle.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Damon's has been pretty tight.
Yeah. Definitely not as crazy as Briggs. I think when you grow up playing in Massachusetts, like, I was so fortunate to, I think, grow up playing there because there's so many good teams and organizations, and you don't have to travel that far, like, for games, like, or for practices. I know some families do, like, even if they live in Mass, like, some parents will have their kids playing in Connecticut or wherever, but I'd say for the majority of kids who play in Boston or near where I'm from in Central Mass, like, the most I drive for a game or a practice would be like 10-15 minutes, but a game no more than an hour and a half. So I can't imagine doing the hour
Briggs
practice
like,
for me.
What's that like?
Yeah. So
you had it easy, man.
Yeah, taking cross country flights at 14.
I know. To go to practice.
To go play three games on a weekend.
Exactly. So Damon, give us your impressions of the Lewiston Auburn area so far, and how you've been welcomed by the team, and what it's like to play in the Colossae.
Yeah, I like it a lot. When I first got here, Briggs wasn't actually my initial roommate. I don't know if you're gonna have him on eventually, but Aki Jokela from Finland was my initial roommate. He ended up moving out because he's allergic to cats. But I'm very happy to have Briggs here. But that was my first initial impression, was just hanging out with him because, you know, he was from Finland. It was kind of a culture change for him, doing everything with him, like going grocery shopping or doing stuff. Like, he was very impressionate of everything around him, so that kind of made me look at things in a little different way, just because of where he's from. But I love the area, especially the Colossae is nice. We actually, our first few weeks where we were never in it, they didn't have ice, so we were over at Norway.
Yep.
Oh, that's nice too.
It's a good rink, but being in the Colossae is just really special. The two home games we had were great, so I'm really excited to get back.
I keep forgetting that you guys have barely played in the Colossae this year.
It's what, 13 games, and we got two at home.
Two at home.
Yeah. This weekend is a big deal.
Yeah, I'm
it's
really
gonna
excited
be pretty
for this
full
weekend,
over there.
So. It is, of course. You guys know the significance of this weekend. Briggs, what are your impressions of, I mean, you played all over the country in so many rinks. I'm always curious as to what players think of the Colossae.
I think it's pretty sweet. It's definitely older. Like, I've played in the newer rinks, and, you know, they're all like modern and fancy and nice, and those are great, but I like the feel and just the vibe of the Colossae. The history, I remember the first day I came for training camp, we were all waiting in a line to check in, and I look over and I see the Muhammad Ali poster, and I was kind of like, what's that about? And then I did a little research and found out after. I was like, that's crazy.
It is crazy.
So just kind of that whole history that's put into the walls of that place is unreal. It's just every day going out there, looking in the stands, like, you can't imagine all the people who sat in those seats and watched a game there. But I think the feel of it's pretty unreal. We actually, a couple days ago, we went out for, I think it was yesterday, we went out for practice, and it was all foggy and like kind of kind of cool, like you're just eerie looking out there for a bit. And that was, it's just fun. It's fun to play.
I love hearing how guys as young as you two just have an appreciation for buildings like that and the history. And I'm a photographer and I love sports photography. I shoot a lot of your games. The photo of Muhammad Ali standing over Sonny Liston at the Colossae that night was voted the most famous sports photo in history.
I actually just found out about that happening like this past weekend. That's crazy. I couldn't imagine that.
It is, but, and you walk by that thing and it's like, that happened right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
it's nuts. So a lot of traveling you guys have done, not only throughout your careers, but recently.
Mm-hmm.
We're always curious. Sarah and I don't play hockey. We love hockey. I don't know how to skate. I've never played, but I'm always curious, and I like getting into the little details of what life is like for you guys. Specifically, how do you pass time on the bus?
Yeah.
Damon.
Honestly, it's been kind of a struggle for me. Like, last year we would drive to all our games and we didn't have that long a road trip. So it's especially like early on, I was like, how do I get through a 10-hour bus ride?
Yeah.
But Yeah, definitely sleeping for sure. Like bringing a pillow and trying to get some sleep. But honestly, I've been trying to read more, and so sometimes I bring a book on the bus and try to get some reading in. But besides that, it's a lot of just listening to music or podcasts, being on the phone, and then maybe for 30 minutes, an hour, you're talking around with the guys around you. But then there comes a point where everyone just kind of shuts off and does their own thing. So especially on the way back, a lot of guys, you know, try to get sleep. So,
yeah.
But I'd say definitely something I'm trying to get into is bringing a book on and trying to get some reading done, because trying to build a good habit while I'm on the bus. So
smart.
Anything specific?
Right now I'm reading Harry Potter. And yay! I know that, I know, like, oh, it's kind of a children's book, but I love it and I love the series. And I never read them, but I love the movies. I've watched them so many times. And I was like, if I'm going to, because I used to read all the time when I was younger, and I said, if I'm going to try to get back into reading, I'm going to read something that I like. So not something that I'm like forcing myself to read. So
having seen the movies and then reading the books, are you excited by all the details that they left out of the movie?
Yeah, absolutely. It's cool. Kind of, it's interesting watching the movies first and then the book second, which is probably not how most people did it, but you're kind of like, this never happened in the movie, or something that was crucially left out, or something they added in. So it's so actually kind of interesting looking at it from that way. So,
yeah. Briggs, how about you? When you get done telling everyone that you're not Bobby Orr's grandson, what are you doing then?
Pretty similar to Damo. I mean, he makes me look bad. I don't read yet. I'm trying to, but I just haven't built that habit. I try and spend the first bit, you know, when kind of everyone's active, just chatting around, like not sitting on my phone, but eventually everyone, like he said, settles down and just kind of does their own thing.
Yeah.
I'm a big, like, either I find a show to binge or I just kind of sit there, do whatever, and watch a movie. I'll just do whatever I feel like. I don't really have a specific thing, but what sucks, I can't sleep on a bus. Like, I can't sleep on planes. I can't sleep on a bus. I don't know why. But, like, my road trip routine, especially on the drives home, it's a little bit better. But the drives there just are brutal. Yeah. I'm laying there. I can't get – I'm just tired to the point where I don't want to move, but I can't fall asleep. It's always – it's I remember telling my dad one night, I'm like, I'm just uncomfortable enough to the point I can't sleep. So I don't know. I kind of just sit there and suffer through it.
Yeah. I always thought it was strange how you guys as athletes, your bodies are your priority.
Yeah.
And now they're going to put you on a bus for 10 hours.
So you hold still and let all your muscles get super tight and uncomfortable.
Luckily we have enough room. You each get your own row. So you can lay.
Okay. Yeah.
You aren't like sitting in, you know.
Yeah.
That helps. Better. 2x2. Yeah. That would be pretty brutal.
You've got to be able to. I mean, and you're all pretty tall, so you kind of need some space.
Well, there are some guys who have to go. Some rookies up front.
With you guys coming in as first year players and Nick Skrlic making it clear that he's building a championship team and he was so close last year, Damon, do you feel any added pressure?
I wouldn't say added pressure. I mean, maybe if I was on the team last year, you know, I think there's a lot of pressure, like in terms of pressure, I'd say there's a lot of pressure on some of the age outs, it being their last year trying to earn a Division I college scholarship. Like, I think that's where the pressure is. But in terms of building a championship team, I don't know if there's as much pressure, but I think a lot, like everyone wants it to happen and wants to win. Yeah. So I think that's good. I think maybe like towards the playoffs, that's kind of where the pressure comes in. But I think right now, like everyone's just kind of riding that win streak that we're on right now and trying to win each game as it comes. And then later in the season, if, you know, we're one game away from winning the championship, maybe that's where the pressure comes in. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, I don't think that's kind of there yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like Damon said, I don't think there's pressure, but the expectations are definitely high.
Definitely expectations from the coach. That
the expectations are massive because they need to be. That's what you need for a championship team. And, you know, every week we sweep and then we still go into video and he's like, you guys suck.
We got to get Skrlic in here at some point.
Oh, man.
He hasn't been in a while.
He hasn't.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. The expectations are for sure there. Yeah. And that was really funny. That was this past week before Maryland. But I think he knows how important sweeping Maryland was. Yeah. So he made sure we were still focused after sweeping New Hampshire. So
it's interesting that you guys are doing so well, but he just knows you can do better.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, that's kind of a good feeling, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
I don't feel like it would bring me down. I feel like it'd be like, wow, this guy really thinks we can, like, we're doing so well and he thinks we have more.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a kind of a neat feeling.
Yeah. Plus, when you have that kind of success that you guys are enjoying right now, that and you're ranked second in the entire NAHL.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
It's gotta be a great feeling. He doesn't want you to get complacent.
No.
Either.
Yeah, right? That was one of the things we talked about this weekend. It's like one of the ways we can lose is being complacent.
Well, he also wants every guy to be successful, like, individually.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So certain guys have had unreal success since the start of the season, and other guys not so much. And even though we're winning, like, if everyone can be, like, producing or doing whatever their role is to the best of their ability, then he's going to be more happy with all of our games. So even if we sweep a weekend, like, certain guys he might not be happy with, or certain games, even if we won, he might not be happy with. So,
right.
Yeah, it's all about bringing all 20, 21, 22 guys, however many we're dressing or bringing on the road trip, to be at their best every weekend. Yeah. So
that's good coaching. The Exchange Club of Auburn extends a formal invitation to all veterans for a complimentary luncheon at the Green Ladle in recognition of your steadfast dedication and commitment to our nation. The event is Friday, November 8th at the Green Ladle on the campus of Lewiston High School. For more information, call John Reed at 777-3579.
It's been great getting to know you guys. We have a little game we like to play called Three Random Questions with you. Like, so far, everything has been hockey related. These questions will not be hockey related.
Nope.
And then we're gonna have you guys deliver a scouting report on each other as roommates. Should be pretty easy.
Yeah. It should be
right?
Easy. Yeah. A lot of ammo. Yeah.
All right. So let's see here. We'll start with Damon. Let's say I hand you $1 million right now, and you have to spend it today. What are you doing?
Have to spend it today.
Yeah.
Oh. That's a real tough one. If it's just in one day, I'm probably just ordering a bunch of stuff off of Amazon, I think.
$1 million worth of stuff.
You're going to be the customer of the day.
Yeah. I don't know how else I would spend $1 million. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe clothes or something. This is a better answer. I think ordering as many hockey sticks as I could because we don't have any right now.
Yeah.
Our order's been super delayed. So I think I would buy as much hockey sticks and some other hockey affair.
And when you say we don't have any, you mean the team?
Yeah.
The team doesn't have any sticks.
Well, they've been ordered, but they're just a little delayed.
So you each have your own stick that you showed up with, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a rough weekend.
Just like, I hope nobody breaks the stick.
I think that's a better answer. I don't know if $1 million worth of hockey sticks, but some of that money is going towards some sticks.
I feel like that'd be a lot.
Your equipment manager is going to be out of his mind.
Yeah.
How do I inventory these? All right, Briggs, same question.
Same question. I'd probably get a new car. My car is very well loved. Travel the country. But it's reaching the end of its life. I don't know. And then I'd probably just waste it on a bunch of other stuff.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, you know, just wherever I see fit.
What are you buying?
I don't know, probably a nice little truck, maybe like a Chevy Colorado or something like
there
that.
You go.
Soup it up, lift it.
Drop it low.
Drop it low, keep it tight.
Put some big mud tires on it, I don't know.
Go mudding.
No.
Nice.
All right, Sarah, you got one?
I do. Briggs, if you could be surrounded by baby animals, which baby animal would you choose?
Easily golden retriever.
Oh, just a bunch of
just
golden retriever
Just a bunch of
pups.
Puppies. Oh my gosh.
I like that.
That's actually one of the things I miss most about home is my little golden retriever.
Oh, we'll find you one.
Yeah, I need it. we miss Flynn too. Natalie's been gone. Yeah. Our skating coach Natalie has a little dog. He's our team dog, and he will literally just run around the rink, be on the ice, go into our locker room. He's just
cute.
Pretty golden retriever.
Yeah. Well, when you have mission dogs night, you'll be very excited
because
Christy Gardner brings her working dogs. And a lot of golden retrievers, a lot of yellow labs.
Oh, yeah.
And you do get to pet. So all right, same question, Damon. Room full of baby animals, what's it going to be?
It's pretty similar to Briggs, but it's my dog's breed. She's a mini Aussie doodle, so I'd probably say a bunch of her running around. Yeah, same as Briggs. I mean, I just saw her in New Hampshire, so I know Briggs hasn't seen his dog in a while, but it was like the first time in a while that I had, and yeah, I miss her so much. So aww. I'd say a bunch of her running around would be pretty special. So.
That's cute. That was my question.
All right. That was a pretty basic one for you. Pretty tame one for me.
Yeah.
Sarah's usually like, if you could be a dinosaur who ate ice cream, what kind of dinosaur would you be?
What kind of ice cream?
And why?
And how would you hold it?
All right. Let's go to this one. Damon, do you believe in destiny?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a man of faith. Like I've grown up in the Catholic Church. Like my parents have always brought me to church. And I've always just kind of grew up believing that everything has a purpose or like has a reason. So I don't know, like maybe not destiny, but you know, I think that if you work hard enough for something that, you know, there's always something out there for you that to achieve. And, you know, I don't know if destiny per se, but yeah, I definitely think that there's something for everyone, that there's a something to achieve or something that's waiting there for you at some point. So.
Briggs?
Yeah, that's a pretty hard-hitting question. You asked Damon, I was pretty lucky you didn't ask me, because I sat there just kind of like thinking, like, wow, what do I say here?
Yeah, we don't throw softballs out. Yeah, no, yeah, so, yeah, we come at you hard.
Yeah, no, yeah, you go straight from dinosaurs and ice cream.
Welcome to the show.
But no, I mean, I'm pretty similar to Damon. I'm a man of faith as well. Obviously, I went to a Christian academy for a while, and that's where a lot of my faith came from, is that you're in school. But I mean, yeah, I believe in destiny. I don't believe in maybe you're destined to be one thing. I think you're kind of destined to be in a broad area of things, and then you can follow along a specific path. So for example, like you're destined to be an influencer, and then you might follow that, or like a, you know, people want to say like destined to be a great hockey player, but I think it's more of like you're destined to be a great person, and then through that you follow through the hockey career path, and that is how you're a great person. I don't know. That's actually a pretty tough one to explain. I didn't really think it through all the way.
It made sense to me. Yeah, not a whole lot of things do. So yeah. Good on you. Yeah. All right. Time for scouting reports. Briggs, Sarah and I own a hockey team. You are our star defenseman. We need a forward.
Oh, yeah.
And we heard some good things about this Damon guy, and we know you played with him before. Yeah. What can you tell us?
Yeah, no, he's definitely the guy you want. He's a pretty powerful, big center. You know, snap the puck back.
He's agreeing with you.
Oh, it's
that's right. Like, yeah.
He snaps the puck back. Like, on draws, I'm behind him. I'm off his left shoulder. I'm like, this puck's coming to me. Like, you just know this guy's going to forecheck. You dump the puck in, and you're already preparing in the slot for a puck. Like, you just know you're about to get it. And, you know, in the D zone, he's just reliable. Like, you look to the center, you look for a breakout pass when no one's there, Damon's there.
Yeah.
He's there. Always.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. What is he like off of the ice? Because that's important to us.
Legitimately one of the most dedicated guys I've ever seen. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I definitely am going to give him props for that. I try and keep up. I'll try and stretch, or like I'll work out a lot. But he is, you know, when I'm playing Xbox for a couple, like I'm playing NHL on Xbox, he's watching NHL and stretching at night. So that's actually what we were doing last night. Exactly that. He is one of the most dedicated players I've seen, and I've played with some extremely dedicated player.
And this is coming from a guy who's traveled all over the country.
I was going to say, you're still recovering from all your traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of wild.
No, he's definitely the type of off-ice player that you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. All righty. Damon, we need a strong blue liner, and we know you've played with Briggs in the past. What can you tell us?
Well, first of all, I've never heard someone say nicer things about me, so I just want to say thank you, Briggs. Yeah, Briggs is a great player. We actually have a pretty small D-core, and Briggs is one of our bigger defensemen. And if I was on another team, Briggs is the last guy that I'd ever want to be stuck in the corner battling with. Yeah, he is. He plays bully ball. Like, he's a really super physical defenseman, great stick. He's just reliable. Like, I think he's one of those guys that you can always rely on last minute of the game, PK. Like, I'm on PK, he's on PK. I trust him out there. He's a great communicator. And I think he has a really good shot, too, from the point. Always gets the puck in. And I think he's going to become one of our biggest leaders because of how he plays the game. He's really simple. Like I said, great stick, always like first back on pucks. And I think that sometimes we have some guys that overcomplicate things. And I think Briggs is just always so reliable, trustworthy out there. Like if I was a coach, I would always put him out in key situations. And I think that just his size too is so helpful in this league because it is a physical league. And even though we're in a division that might not be the most physical, there is still a lot of physicality and you can use that to push teams around, and Briggs helps that. Like in practice, I remember in training camp that I got into it with Briggs one time in like a compete drill, and I was like, he's not someone I'd want to mess with. There's very few guys I wouldn't on this team, but Briggs is one of them. Yeah. So yeah, I'd say that's my scouting report on Briggs.
All right. How about off the ice?
Off the ice, he's a great guy, and I don't think he gives himself enough credit. He's an extremely hard worker and extremely dedicated too. So yeah, he's just a real solid guy. Like he came in, I think, a few weeks ago into our billet as my roommate, and he's been great. You know, I enjoy having him as my roommate, and he's just a guy that a lot of guys like in the locker room. He's funny, and yeah, a lot of guys, not just myself, think he's a great guy in the locker room too. So yeah, I'd say that's my off-ice scouting report on it.
All right, so sweet.
I know. Aww. High praise on both sides
here.
You guys
are so nice to each
other. I know. And one surprise question for you before we let you go. This is the one I've been honing over the years until I got it perfect. Okay, we'll start with you, Briggs. Would you rather play in the NHL for 15 years and be a perennial all-star and never win a cup? Or would you rather play for 5 years as a third-line defenseman and win one Stanley Cup?
That's such a tough question. I don't know. I definitely like to win, but I also think there's a true testament to a lengthy career. Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably take the cup.
Five years in the cup.
That's a pretty special thing to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, your legacy is secure.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think it comes down to what you want more.
Your name's on the cup. And yeah. 5 years in the NHL, is like, I think that's longer than the average career. So
could be.
Still pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damon, would you rather be a 15-year perennial all-star in the NHL or play for 5 years as a fourth-line forward and win a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, you'd think having a few extra minutes to think this over would make it easier. Yeah, I'm still thinking. I don't know. I think I'd take the cup just because you can always say that you've won a Stanley Cup, which is not something many people can say. But I mean, also being an all-star, like I almost think that's harder to do because you can be on obviously winning the cup's one of the hardest things to do in all of sports, but you can be a fourth line guy or even a guy who's scratched and kind of ride the team like on a really good team and maybe not be the most impactful player. But if I'm a fourth line guy and I'm in the lineup every night and I'm like being impactful in some way, I take the cup because then I can say that like I went through the grind of the playoffs and I won it. But if I was a guy who wasn't playing or wasn't as impactful, like, and you're a 15-year guy all-star, like that's something that not many people could ever do either. Right. So, but I take the cup, I think. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take that cup.
I know, right? Yeah. But it is a brutal question though.
No, yeah, it is. Because I was thinking that like if you're a 15-year guy, like everyone, and you're an all-star, like everyone knows who you are.
Yeah.
But if you're like, no one really knows if you only played 5 years. I mean, some people would obviously, but.
Yeah, but you know.
That's why I took it.
Yep. You'll be 70. I won a Stanley Cup.
I haven't bought a beer in this town for 30 years. It has been an absolute pleasure
having you
guys in the studio.
Of course. Yeah.
Thanks for your time. Yeah,
thank you.
We apologize for getting you up so early.
No. I'm awake now.
Now you can go get some breakfast.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. Get some
Dunkin'.
Breakfast. Yeah. And I'm sure you got a busy week ahead of you, and we can't wait to see you back on home ice this weekend.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Damon Myers and Briggs Orr, our guests for today's episode. They are taking on the stinking Northeast Generals on home ice at the Colisée on Saturday night at 7, and a special matinee game game at 2 o'clock on Sunday. We want to thank our sponsors, Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and UPI Plumbing, Heating and Cooling. And if you'd like to be part of the Liddy's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com. We will catch you tomorrow when we have an Angels Wing coming in.
Yeah. We can recap their beautiful gala that they have.
Absolutely. Yep, that's going to be tomorrow's show. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you then.
You know, every week we sweep and then we still go into video and he's like, you guys suck.